Welcome to Waking Up with Melissa, a podcast that takes a deep dive into personal development, spirituality, and how to grow your online business. I'm your host, Melissa Ruiz, a spiritual and mindset business coach for all conscious healers out there. Stay tuned every week while I share insight on how to balance your business and also stay in alignment with your higher self. I truly feel that we all uniquely possess all the things we are seeking if we simply allow ourselves to surrender, to be present, and to take action in our lives. Welcome back to another episode on Waking Up with Melissa, where we have a beautiful guest by the name of Nita Bashan, and she's a world-renowned emotional health educator and host of a top-rated podcast called The Brave Table, which, by the way, I have questions. I was stalking your whole podcast page, and I'm like, oh my God, there's so many beautiful people there. Also known as Queen of Reinvention, speaker on the grit and resilience, she has shared her thought leadership on international stages. And here's where it gets good, people. Like, okay, I want you to tune in and listen to this. Dr. Nita sold her large $1 million cosmetic dentistry practice to help others find their magic in their mess. And I can stop there, but I'm going to keep going, as a part of her own journey to become a leader in her field and a voice for women, especially women of color. She's traveled across 45 countries discussing ancient Eastern philosophy and therapeutic psychology. If that's not an intro, I don't know what is. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi.
Hi, Melissa. It's so good to be here jamming it out with you today, love.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to flow. And the first thing I want to just start is by asking you, what makes us brave? I went into your podcast page, like I introduced you to, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to start with this question of bravery, because I think that will start to help pull us into a bigger conversation of resilience, a bigger conversation of being courageous and activating courage. And so I would just love a little backstory on, yeah, how'd you come up with it? What led you here? And let's talk about what makes us brave.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I would say in this season and stage of life, what makes me brave, what makes us brave, is our ability to lean into the hard stuff, lean into the discomfort or being uncomfortable, because we can actually do that with grace and ease. And I'm using that as a distinction, not because it's easy. I'm saying with ease, knowing that it's going to be hard, but we're actually going to dive into the mess. We're going to dive into and carve out the magic in that mess and embrace the joy in chaos in order to say, oof, wow, it's big. Oof, wow, that hurts. Oof, wow, I don't know what's going to happen. I can embrace the uncertainty. I can embrace the surrender, but I'm going to keep moving through it because that is calling me into the next level and next evolution of my becoming.
Oh my God, let's keep going on this brave train. Any brave moments that stick out in your mind that were pivotal to where you are right now? Because I mean, there's so many different things that I want to talk about. I'm like, yes, find the magic in the mess. What is the mess? And also, hello, like you sold for me, what oftentimes people think is the top or what people call security. And so how did you find the bravery, right, to do that, to make that step? Was there anything that sticks out in your mind as like that pivotal moment where you were like, okay, no more from here on?
Yeah. You know, I would say like I've had several, I mean, it's probably why I'm like, all right, there's a brave table. I've had several brave, challenging moments of suck. And even in the first part of my book, I talk about that whole moment. That's because that magical moment, you're probably not going to think it's magical. Like I didn't think the fact that, you know, I was at the top of my game as a cosmetic dentist. I wasn't even 30. I think I was about 28 or 29. But I had reached my first million and I had 10 people working under me. I mean, I thought it was like, because to the outside world, I had accomplished a lot of things that most people my age or even in my class, in my dental class, I was one of few women, by the way, that it would actually go out and not only buy a practice, but also scale it to that big so fast. And I was also hiding a very big and painful lie. So the first thing was coming clean about my abusive marriage, coming clean about my very toxic relationship, because I thought that I could hide all of the things that I was actually going through. And a lot of the things that I was going through was literally a decade before that, was losing both of my parents and my brother all within a span of 4 years, and all before I was 19. And so that really set me up for being brave in my 20s to say, fuck that. I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to drop out. I'm going to overwork, overachieve, overprove myself that I could actually sit at the table. So much so that I did all of those things, but I needed to then say, okay. What I started to attract in my love life, it was definitely starting to spill over everywhere, because I hadn't dealt with the grief. I hadn't dealt with the loss. I hadn't dealt with my own worth that I had put so low, because I kind of wanted to recreate a family that I had lost. And the only way I knew how to do it was to hang on to emotionally not very supportive people to teach me about self-love, to teach me that the only way through is to actually feel to heal. And that's one of the pillars that I talk about in the book, is how is your emotional capacity to feel? And what are we hiding, suppressing, washing down? Because we're so afraid of feeling. We're so afraid of diving in the mess. And I needed to do that. And so that was that brave step moving forward, was taking ownership of where I was in that mess. And that meant I needed down. So December 31st, I remember it like it was yesterday, 2011. That's when I said no more to that relationship, packed everything I could. It was a little dramatic. Got a restraining order. I mean, I like sat before a judge on the first part one of the book. I actually talk about how I was so afraid to sit before a judge and to tell them, because you had to tell them all the instances. And so things got really dark before it would get light. And I needed to go through that, because that would then begin my brave journey of then 4 years later, you know, selling my big lucrative practice, moving across country. But it starts with a breakdown.
Wow. I'm almost speechless, because there is so much in all of that. And the fact that you are a woman too, I feel like me being a TV producer, like that was something that I feel like I always had to prove. I'm like, I'm a woman and I'm brown. I'm a lesbian too. It's like, how many strikes do I have? And so I, you know, talk about, were there any moments that you felt, was that a reason why you had to overwork yourself?
Oh yeah. I wanted to prove myself that I wasn't broken. I wanted to prove myself that, you know, don't feel bad for her. Don't feel bad for her because she lost her mom or her brother or her dad. And, you know, as a young person going through so many losses, just imagine, like at 16 years old, that's when I lost my mom. You know, a year later at 17, that's when I lost my brother suddenly to an asthma attack. And at 16, 17, 18, 19, you know, all you want to do is fit in. And that's literally where that wounding started. It was like, okay, I have to put all of my feelings aside, because my dad is telling me, I'm so strong. Like, Nita, you're so strong. You got this. You got this. So much so that, I mean, there were times where I was working three jobs to support my family. My dad was in deep depression. I mean, it was chaotic. It was chaotic. We were in full survival mode. It was tough. I had, he was 5 years younger than me. And, you know, to go through that havoc, all you want to do is fit in. All you want to do is, like, you know, go to the mall. Cause back then you did go to the mall after school. That's all you wanted to do. And I couldn't do any of that. I spent most of my days in my teen years in hospitals, in and out of hospitals, taking care of my family, or having these jarring, like, you know, PTSD because, like, are you kidding me? This is happening again. Like, oh my gosh. You know, when my dad got his diagnosis, stage 4 cancer, I was like, wow. Okay. And I was so angry and so many emotions deal with it, because we were in survival mode. So I shoved it. I pushed it aside. I'm like, all right, I'll work another job. And I think that, you know, that led me to a coping mechanism of toxic positivity And another coping mechanism of overworking, overachieving. And there's so many stories of my book, you know, and that sucked. Now what? Where a lot of times all we want is to be accepted by our community. All we want is to have that praise. And we get it sometimes in the wrong ways or the ways that feel good at the time. But what are we really needing? And that's the dirty work. That's the messy work. That requires us to kind of dig in. And there's four steps to actually build, you know, what I call your audacious resilience, because I'm saying we got to have the audacity and the self-commitment and the intentionality to say, okay, wow, you know, how, like, is this my purpose? Is this my journey? Is this my dharma to have gone through these things? And I feel like this is a podcast where I can fully share this, you know, and others, I have to be kind of careful because they're like, what do you mean? You were a victim as domestic violence. And I'm like, well, no, I also attracted that relationship to teach me what I needed to learn, which was what you're doing and heal. And how did you really, you know, what was your take in this relationship? And I think, you know, it's easy to get into the victim mindset, and we can have compassion for ourselves, but also compassion for the season of life that we're in. And I'm not saying to bypass anything, because the emotions, you know, are so valid and they need to actually be processed and felt, even if sometimes we judge ourselves and say, oh my God, I've done this work already. Why am I still feeling that? No, you're entitled to it. We're entitled to feeling shitty. We're entitled to feeling sad. It doesn't mean we're going to attract, you know, sad shit or, you know, negative stuff, but we got to feel it in order to heal it. And that's, you know, that was the beauty that I needed to really dive into. And that is, you know, reckoning with your emotional capacity to feel. That's number one. Like, what emotions are you judging? What emotions are you suppressing? What emotions are you saying, oh, I'm going to take the high road because, you know, it's better that way. And I know better. Like, of course we all know better, but when we suppress it, it still comes back. It's going to come back in different ways.
Oh my God. Your book title is also perfect. That sucked. Now what? And I love, I just want to take a moment to honor this. You feeling comfortable to share your truth and your vulnerability. And no wonder why we kind of connected in this way, because I hold that same truth because I grew up poor. My parents didn't have money when they came to this country. They still kind of don't. and they had a lot of love. They had a lot of love. They had four kids. They came to this country for a better life. They still don't speak the language. And so there was a lot of those narratives too, like, well, I don't have money. And so I have this narrative and this belief that it's going to be hard. And, you know, I should have this mentality, this broke poverty mentality, because look at my past, and my past is telling me that that's who I am. But I love the lens of one, you're a doctor sharing this perspective. And I can also tell really intuitive and connected and just seeing things from, yeah, a higher perspective. And we're not talking about spiritually bypassing. I think if anything, you're talking about feel it more, yeah. Like sit with it more. And also, how do we alchemize that? How do we transmute that? So my question for you is, do you have any pillars, or do you talk about any methods in the book that can help people move through that? Because I know people always ask me that, like, how, Melissa, you always talk about money. Like, how do I do it? And I always tell them, not for nothing, for me, this is just one way, meditate. I feel like if you are not meditating, you're not connected. And so for me, it was yoga, it was meditation, it was mindfulness. It was a lot of rewiring, literally the way I think. What was it for you? Were there any tools that really helped you?
Oh, yes. And I mean, so the second part of the book, we talk about, you know, I think what I kind of started alluding to, so thank you for asking that question, you know, this ability that we all have, balance factor, and how and this is one of the frameworks that has helped, you know, thousands of my clients, students, wherever I've been able to teach this methodology, because there are four pillars. And the first pillar, I think I already shared, is we cannot be afraid of our emotions. And, you know, there's a reason so many of us are so afraid of feeling that rage, feeling the pain, feeling the anger, and then we judge it, and then we bury it, and we want to shove it under a rug because that's kind of what our families have told us. Or if, I don't know about you, you know, growing up in kind of that chaotic circumstance that you did, Melissa, but my family was like, I'll give you something to cry about. You know, crying was not allowed in my house.
Can I just interrupt you? Because I was literally just sharing that with another student of mine. I was like, when your big people and your parents don't give you the safety to even cry, yes, we grow up with a lot of this people pleasing and this unsafetiness to even open up to ourselves, open up to our partners. It bleeds into so many departments. But yeah, that's a very Latino strict household that you have air in your lungs and you have a piece of bread. And so you better be thankful. If not, I will give you something to cry about. So there was a lot of, a lot of toxic relationships, not the safest atmosphere. And it's no dig at my family or my parents. I think they're great human beings. And I've actually have learned to see them with different eyes. It's just so beautiful what happens when you heal. You're just like, oh, wait, like I see you as like a 7-year-old child and like not even my parent. But yeah, thank you for sharing that. I just wanted to quickly interrupt you because yes, I agree.
Well, and I think that, you know, you're right about not feeling safe. And I think that a lot of us spaces as women, we're not allowed to, you know, if you share your emotions or if you get really frustrated or if you like raise your hands, you become that meme, the crazy mom meme or the crazy bitch meme on TikTok or IG or whatever. Like, we're not allowed to express. And, you know, I think even when express really big, then they're seen as a monster. And so then where are we able to express our feelings? And I'm saying express it in a healthy way. I'm not saying that punching the walls or, you know, doing that to another person is healthy, because I think that's what we're afraid of. But I think, can we save spaces where it is okay to scream? It is okay to cry. It is okay to moan, because that's that little kid inside of us that was told, don't, no, no. And so that's the first layer, is your capacity to feel. Are you able to experience the duality, the opposing emotions? Are you able to stretch into what emotions make you feel uncomfortable? So that's number one. Number two, are we cultivating this sense of our RSA? And our RSA is our radical self-awareness. And that radical self-awareness is that attuning to where we are. If we are feeling a certain emotion, if we are feeling like, oh, these people that I'm hanging out with, I don't know if they're actually supporting me. I feel like they are, but I'm just not sure anymore. Well, trust that. That's your instinct. That's your gut. That's your intuition telling you, well, something is off and you want to pay attention to it. Most of us turn it off. And so that's that RSA. And for me, cultivating that strength of like, I know it's time, even though I've built this like beautiful practice, I have an amazing team that loves me. We've grown 20% year after year, but I think it's time for me to do something else. That was me leaning into my RSA. Even though the shiny money looked great on the outside, and even though I'm like, ooh, this feels really good, you know, internally, it wasn't sitting well with me anymore. That's cultivating your RSA to say, wow, I have to make these big decisions and it really is scary, but I know it's not in true alignment with me anymore. RSA. So that's number two. Number three, we got to make peace with upbringing. And that means our caretakers, our parents, you know, people who were, you know, literally raising us. I mean, there was a time where I was like, why is this happening to me? I was in full victim mode. You know, I mean, after going through that many losses in such a short span of time, you kind of lose faith about everything. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that I needed to really reckon with. There was a lot that I needed to heal and give, you know, just gratitude for what they actually were able to do, you know? And I think that for many people, it's so easy to hold resentment against friends. It's so easy to hold resentment against, you know, what people were just trying to do, even resentment against my ex-husband. You know, I think, you know, making peace with your upbringing and forgiving that and forgiving yourself as well. So, and really honestly seeing like, how were those relationships growing up? Because it'll show up in the way you relate to other people, whether it's friendships, whether it's partners, whether it's business people. So that's number three. And number four is most important, because how is your current environment? What is your current environment looking like? Can you actually take stock of allowing yourself to expose yourself to good stress? And what I mean by that is, when we're in a season of suck, when we're in a season of, oh, I have to make this big decision, well, how are we saying yes to the things that scare us? And it could look as simple like, all right, who wants to take a cold shower or get into that cold plunge? Nobody, but we know 1,000 benefits of a cold plunge. You know, we know 1,000 benefits of, you know, eating healthier. And most of the time we don't do it. We know 1,000 benefits of like doing yoga and meditation. Why do we not do it? And so I think invoking that area of good stress, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, community, even sharing and being vulnerable with how you're feeling, saying yes to those things start to rewire your brain. And it starts to rewire your brain so that you're building these new neural pathways. And that's really connecting your next evolution of who you want to be. And that literally is what, you know, started to make that bridge for me and my old self as a dentist to, oh, okay, I'm going to invest in female-led startups. I don't know what I'm doing right now. And I'm going to be the only one in the room without a business degree with these VCs who are giving money to these startups. What can I learn? And they're looking at me like, how, what are you doing here? You know, and just to be able to be okay being the smallest fish in the room, because that's where we leap. That's where we grow. And to not be able to be fearful of asking for help when we need it.
Oh, so good. And I love how people don't want to, they don't want to show the in-between. That's the problem. I think there's this big, like, I want to just show when it's all done. But what I'm really like feeling into as you speak is just this courage to continuously hit the restart button. And that for me was like a big deal. And I think oftentimes people don't understand how difficult it is to build a career and walk away from it. I think it's easier with the glitz and the glam of social media, but internally, like I remember still like leaving a TV, like my job, and feeling like, I don't want anybody to know that I'm online. I don't want them to see my videos. You know, I felt this shame. And so I just really commend you and your story and the many twists and turns and the many ways, almost in a lot of ways, there are these like spiritual knockdowns, right? It's like one after the other. And it was just this, I'm getting the word just relentless.
Yeah.
You know? It was just like you just being relentless, going back to like, nope, that sucked. Now what? Yes.
And honestly, I use it as a mantra. It is a mantra. There's one of the practices inside the book where I literally take you through an emotional release practice. And the first thing is to have an anchor. And one of the anchors that I teach in the book is literally the title of the book. It's if you're having a bad season, a sucky moment going through, like you got a bad text message, something didn't go your way. That sucked. Now what? That sucked. Now what? Put your hand over your heart. That sucked. Now what? And literally just start to evoke that. And you can use any mantra, but this, I feel it's light. It's not heavy. There is levity there where it's giving you permission to say, wow, yeah, that wasn't easy. That was not easy. That definitely sucked. It definitely wasn't what I was hoping, but what's that now what piece? And it's not to say that we're completely passing it all together. It's to say and give reverence and give respect to what happened in the past. We can't change it, but what are we actually going to look forward to? The now what?
I love that. What do we get to do? I always say that to my students because they're like, I have to do this. And I'm like, no, you don't actually have to. Nobody's like, gun to your head, you have to do this, right? Like, you don't have to be online. You don't have to start a business. You don't have to move from where you're at, but you get to do this part, right? It's like, it's such a shift and feels more magical, right? It's like less logical. And I think that's really what's happening right now. You know, the planet has been continuously upgrading. And so humans are just naturally evolving and we're questioning everything. And I love the pillars and the practices that you're sharing with us. And I really want to invite our listeners to continuously lead with curiosity, right? Like the great explorers that we are, because to me, all the roads really lead to healing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And the relationship, I believe, for me personally, that has been the most transformative, it's been the one with my parents.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, and that's kind of what I got from your share, right? It's like hitting that restart button, rebuilding again. What problems are we making problems? And now what? What do we get to do from here? Ah, so beautiful. Tell us a little bit about your book, how it came out, when is it out, how can they find it? This is so juicy.
Okay, well, everyone, it's out. It's already a 3-time award-winning book. And it's won 3 awards already, from Book Excellence to Literary Titans to Mom's Choice Awards. And it's already been number one on the bestsellers list on Amazon in Stress Management. So you know that this is one to get for yourself, for your friends, for people that you want to grow with, and in business and in your own journey. And you can get it at thatsuckednowwhat.com. It's actually been out for a week. We actually launched it last week. And That Sucked Now What, you can also get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble has been such a great partner for this book. And when you actually go to thatsuckednowwhat.com, you can grab your 44-page free guidebook. And it literally goes into, it's a color-coded guidebook. It goes into all of the different prompts, journals, and ways to actually go deeper into your healing process, so that, you know, when you're building a business, you're kind of doing it from a place of integrity, and you can start to heal some of those things that come along. And also it comes with my 5-day healing practice as well. So just for your guests, love, just for your guests.
Yes. And I am going to purchase a lot of these books because I want to put them in our gift boxes for our mastermind. Like, it's just hearing you speak and just all of the wisdom that I already know is within those pillars and in your story and who you are and what you have moved through and how you are championing your own life, to me, it's just like just chills. Like, I just love that. I love a bad bitch story. Like, I love, you know, the story of, you know what, like, that sucked, but this is now what, like, now I built this, like, I built this magic. Like, for me, I built this business in the middle of a divorce, and everybody kept telling me sit down, and I'm like, no, like, I'm channeling all of this energy into something amazing. And I'm just so moved and inspired by your story. Tell our listeners how, if they felt the calling to work with you, how they can find your work, your Instagram.
Absolutely. You can find me at Neetha Bhushan, and I definitely want to have Melissa on podcast The Brave Table. And so this is definitely an open ask in front of all of our listeners, because I think that there's just so much bravery in even our conversation and our walk. And so you can hit us up also on The Brave Table, share your brave stories. But when you get this book, and I'm so glad that your mastermind students, this has been a partnership book for a lot of masterminds. I'm so glad that your mastermind students are going to get this. When you actually get the book, hashtag that sucked, now what? Because we are creating a global movement. We've already partnered up with 5 different universities to build their mental health. So this is not just something for today. We want this book to live on because, you know, I think this is for the next generation. And it's literally all the tools that I wish I had. I wish we all had, coming from immigrant backgrounds, coming from, you know, family members who they were just doing the best that they could. But I feel like we now have the responsibility to shift that. And I'm so glad that we're talking as people of color and to uplift, you know, the next generation of leaders. So.
Wow, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for having literally the most expansive, flowy conversation ever. The magic in the mess is really the model that I'm taking from this whole conversation. And you are just that example of magic. Thank you so much for being on. Humans, I will see you in the next episode of Waking Up with Melissa. Namaste. Breathe.